Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Hello, Cleaning Nation. So glad to be with you once again. Welcome to the place you will find everything you need to get the cleaning company you've always wanted, the cleaning company that you deserve. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you've got questions for me or want to hire me to speak at your next event, you can email our producer, Natalie, for all of those things at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com. Of course, you could always give us a call, 480-648-5149. Do it now. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with our good friend, Kieran, and previous guests from the Office Cleaners. The Office Cleaners have been providing, you guessed it, office commercial cleaning to the Brantford, Canada area since 2014. Since Kieran has been on the show, he's added carpet cleaning to their offerings. If you want to reach out to Kieran and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.theofficecleaners.ca, not .com, theofficecleaners.ca. Kieran, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you having me on, Mike.
So we went over all of your, and I'll make sure I link to your first appearance, because one of the reasons we invited you back is we got a really good response to your first show. People seem to dig what you have going on, my friend. So I will link to that in the show notes page, so everyone that falls in love with the Kieran vibe and wants more can go check that out. That said, what's been shaking since we last spoke, my friend?
Not too much. Oh, I guess actually a lot. I don't know why I said that. Not too much, but anyway. We've been incredibly busy. Obviously, the slow season's just kind of passed us, and the busy season's just kind of come upon us. So business has just been insane. And like you did mention, we recently opened up a carpet cleaning company too. And I've just found it to be the perfect supplement to commercial cleaning. Even though we do primarily residential carpets, it's great because of the additional income you can bring in on the side, and it's larger sums in small chunks, ongoing. We've been really digging the carpet cleaning.
So tell me about that. On the commercial cleaning, the janitorial side, you just do offices, or do you do residential and office?
We do one residential building. The only reason we do it is because we had to take it in a pack of buildings. The owner said, "You only get the three offices if you do my house too." That is the only one that we do.
Okay, but then for the carpet cleaning, you do carpets for commercial and residential.
Exactly, but it really just comes down to cash. It's for cash flow purposes, so it's great cash flow at the beginning of the month for office cleaning, but to supplement it with carpet cleaning, just like those one-time chunks are just fantastic.
So do I hear you right in saying, because I love, I've talked about my clients a bit in terms of floor work and carpets, and I'm of two minds of both of them, except when it comes to commercial cleaners doing it for their existing clients. I think that's a no-brainer. It makes you more sticky. It deepens the relationship. Just like you said, it can improve the cash flow. And there's virtually no marketing costs because you've already got those customers. You're just selling them or deepening the relationship mutually, right? You're making more money and they're doing more stuff. But what I hear you saying is, hey, we do all the carpet cleaning kind of at one time. I don't have enough commercial work to keep a guy busy, and a half a guy and a half a truck's kind of hard to do. Is that, am I putting words in your mouth, or am I understanding it properly?
No, you're absolutely correct. So we certainly do clean carpets for all of our commercial, well, not all of them, but for quite a few of our commercial clients. But the number of residential calls and leads and sales that we generate just, it makes an enormous difference to the bottom line of the business. Like it's so dramatic. It's unbelievable, quite frankly.
All right. So dumb question. If that's working so well, because what I hear you saying is, hey, we started as a janitorial company, but we noticed, well, shoot, our janitorial customers, you know, they've got carpets and we could do that. We're already here. Why not? How does the reverse not work in terms of, well, our our residential customers, they need maid service. We're right here. Why not? Any thoughts of kind of going the other way on that one?
Probably just personal thoughts. I just never have and never really wanted to get into residential cleaning. Never wanted to go into this. It's just this. I don't feel comfortable being in other people's houses for some reason. It's not the cleaning that bothers me, but it's just like being in other people's houses. So it's never something that I've personally felt comfortable with. So I guess maybe my personal comforts have maybe stopped me from doing it. But
well, and not that you asked me, but I've got the mic, so I'm going to answer. I agree. First of all, I'm not a fan typically of, unless you're multi, a very large company that you can just kind of have two separate companies running under one. So typically I'm not a fan of residential and commercial because it's just, they're very different messaging. They're very different markets. The business model is surprisingly different. But that said, if you're already, one thing I don't get, and if I hear you say, hey, I'm not comfortable in people's houses, and you know, I support that. You're the business owner. This is all about you. But you know, I hate to tell you, the carpets generally are kept on the inside of people's houses. So if you're doing residential carpet cleaning, my friend, you are in people's houses.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I'm saying. It's probably not the business. It's probably just me. It's just got probably my wacky perspective on things. But also another thing could be just simply that, you know, there's only so much focus and so many things you can do, implement. Because I didn't mention this, but we did add like floor work in as well. So really we're growing pretty quickly. And so I'm sure there's more than one reason why we're not doing it. Maybe it's something in the future, but we haven't done it yet. And I don't really think I'm going to, but maybe we'll do another show later down the road and you'll find out I am.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. We'll come back to me in 6 months and see what happens. Then that's fine. It's so funny because I'm agreeing with everything you're saying in terms of the focus, and I would agree 1,000%. It's just too hard to dilute your focus like that. But then I'm like, well, God bless it. If you're already in there, why not at least offer, you know, we don't have to go get a bunch of residential carpet cleaners, but or maid service homes. But if you're already there, why not? You know, just throw a cleaner in there and have them do both at the same time. But anyway, different conversation, as you said, for a different day. Now that I've taken us totally off track, what is going on in your world today that I can actually help you with that you'd like help, as opposed to me trying to shoehorn my opinion in without you asking?
Yeah, well, my question today for you is in regards to a strategy or a tactic called the Dream 100 by Chet Holmes. I know you're familiar with it because I've seen you post on it before. I've been doing it for quite a while, but I don't know if maybe you want to explain it or.
Give me 20 seconds and I'll catch everyone up. Chet Holmes, by the way, awesome author, business person. And I'm going to ruin the surprise for you because when I read his book, Ultimate Selling Machine, which I'll put a link to, because that is, I don't want to say required reading, but golly, if you want to grow any business, not just a cleaning business, it's a great start. And I found out tragically the guy died. I was so upset. He had all these things going on, and I Googled him like, oh my gosh, he wrote this book years ago. What's he up to now? And he'd passed away. And I only tell you that because I was literally depressed for like a day. I felt like I got to know this guy. I was excited to know what he had going on. And anyway, I want to save you from that depression, but I will put that link in there. He has a whole chapter, I believe, in The Ultimate Selling Machine on the Dream 100. And the concept is, and this would probably work more for commercial than residential. With residential, most of your clients are going to kind of be in that, you know, $200 a month range in terms of your best customer might be $300, your worst customer might be $180, but that's it. On the commercial side, goodness, we can have $200 or $300 a month customers, and we can have $20,000 or $30,000 a month customers. So what happens is we often try and we often treat them the same, or don't give the $30,000 customer 100 times the attention and effort we give the $300 customer, although they're worth that much. Chet Holmes has a concept he coined called the Dream 100, where I believe he was selling pretty large Fortune 500 companies. And the way he'd do it is he just had his quote unquote Dream 100. These are the people that he decided I will be doing business with them. They don't know me, but they will. And instead of just kind of diluting his focus and shooting all of his time and energy and marketing dollars everywhere, he said, these 100 people are going to be it. So Sounds like Kieran's using that philosophy, which I love. Please continue.
So actually, when we spoke the first time on the podcast, I was using it then, and we used, to be very honest, really what the difference is here is I've changed the offer. I've changed the offer. Previously, I was offering a week of free commercial cleaning. It essentially says, you know, we want you to trust us. It's a 3-page sales letter, but essentially it says, you know, the way that we want to show you that we're honest, that we're trustworthy, that we can do the job is by letting you try us out risk-free. Then if you don't like us after a week, no worries, we'll part ways, we'll say bye-bye. But we're so confident that you'll be absolutely in love with our services that you will stick with us. Obviously, it's a condensed version, but that's essentially what it says. We were getting fantastic response. We got about 8% response, which is, we're a pretty small town, but there's really only there's a really big cleaner that does like way, way, way stuff that we wouldn't even handle. But then there's our main competitor and a lot of small guys. Well, I just picked up tons of clients off our main competitor, and we got about an 8% response over the first, I think it was six or seven letters.
Hold on real quick. Let me just hit some. You're saying some really good stuff that I don't want, that you and I might take for granted, but I don't want Cleaning Nation to miss out. First of all, Kieran mentioned he's sending them mail, which is very expensive. Direct mail is not cheap. And part of the reason he can do it is this Dream 100 strategy. I don't know your numbers, but I'm guessing if you're on your Dream 100, where customers were $300 a month, even with an 8% response rate, which is the second thing we're going to go over, that may not have penciled in terms of your return on investment wouldn't happen for like 6-7 months in. Is that a fair assumption?
That's very correct. And by the way, just to interject for one moment, the price of direct mail in Canada is almost, I think it's actually like 7 times what it is in the US.
Wow. Okay. So if you're listening in the United States, it's expensive. If you're listening in Canada, you better be very, very good at it, or have really big customers so you can get a poor response rate and still have it work financially. So yeah, thank you for sharing that, Kieran, because I was not aware of that. So the first piece is direct mail can be awesome, but it is not cheap, and it generally does not work with low ticket items because you need too many people to say yes. With a very high ticket item, very few people can say yes, and the numbers still work, even in Canada, where apparently it's exorbitantly expensive. The second piece to that is, just so everybody has a fair, I don't want anyone out there going, well, shoot, if Karen did 8%, I could do half as well at 4% and still make money. 8% is not good. It's ridiculous. That's insane. So which is fantastic. Please, I mean, that's really good for Kieran. I'm not trying to bum anyone out on direct mail, because it's a very powerful tool, and I'm a big fan, but I just don't want people to go out there, spend $2,000 on one piece of mail without any copywriting or any experience, get a poor, no return on their investment, and then think that we didn't treat them fair. So just to be fair, generally a 2% response rate is very, very good in direct mail. So 8% is literally in the insane category. So God bless you if you can get it, like Kieran, but just don't base your numbers on, well, if I get this or that around that 8%, it'll all work, because that would be, Kieran's probably very, very good at copywriting. Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, so we were getting like, we were sending letters about, we started off 2 weeks apart, moved it to 3 weeks apart. We were, so with, And just so the audience doesn't kind of get confused, one of the things that I will say is that the way that we've been doing it is we haven't just been doing 100. We've been doing more. We've been doing around 250. So I don't want people to think that we are just sending 100 letters out, even though it's called the Dream 100. But we picked up about 2% off the first two on the first mailing. Then another 2% on the second mailing, then 1.5 on the third, then another 1 on the fourth, and then it starts to drop quite dramatically.
Oh, okay. So let me point that out. I made an assumption that was not correct, and this is, again, little changes, little levers can move big doors. So when Kieran says 8%, I'm assuming that means over four or five letters, which makes so much more sense. Remember when I said 2% is really good, 8% is insane. Well, yeah, if you send 2%, if you send four letters and each letter closes 2%, that's still an excellent campaign. But that's now in the realm of, okay, you're not the best copywriter in the world. That's just a very good campaign. So that's another thing a lot of people do is they put, you know, if they've got a budget of $1,500, they put it all into their first mailing. And if that doesn't produce results or not very good results, they quit. I would rather see you put $300 into five mailings than $1,500 into one mailing. And it sounds like that's what Kieran's doing. And he was getting 1-2% per mailing, which is a lot more reasonable result.
Exactly. And it's like, I mean, you can literally work with mediocre copywriting, even though it's okay. Mediocre copywriting, but consistency will beat it every time. So, but preach. What I was going to say is we did change the offer. Maybe I'm just foolish. But we were offering a week of free cleaning, and it was really causing some schedule problems, because essentially when you're going in, you're pretty much doing a deep clean. You know what I mean? You're fixing what was broken. So the cost of the mailing and the offer dramatically increases when you take into consideration staff and hours that we are essentially paying out. So what we did was we changed our offer. So just to go back there, so essentially like saying the cost of the mailing is actually a lot more because we're going in and cleaning for free for a week. But if that person is worth 10, 15, 20,000 to me, I mean, you know, me spending $400 or $500 to get them is worthwhile. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Not only does it make sense, it's what I'm, I don't want to say constantly, but periodically tell my customers who have that exact same fear. And I'm not saying you should offer the free cleaning. I'm not there yet, but I do want my customer, the people I work with, to think the way that you just laid out, which is, what is the lifetime value of my customer? So when you think, I'm not going to clean this guy's thing for free. Regular cleaning would take me 10 hours. This is going to take me 20. None of that matters. What is the lifetime value of the cleaning? What is the lifetime gross profit of the cleaning, right? If that customer's worth 10 grand, but it costs you 5 grand in payroll, well, then you've only got 5 grand of gross margin to work with. But if it costs you $500 to acquire that $5,000 customer, that's not a bad idea. And a lot of people will squabble over, well, free cleaning is going to cost me 20 hours. Well, all right, if you're paying $15 an hour, that's $300. If this is worth $5,000 in gross margin, I'm having a hard time understanding why that's a problem. So I like, again, I'm not quite on the free cleaning train yet, and we'll talk about that, but I do like the thought process behind it.
So now what we've done is essentially we've changed the offer from, rather than a week of free cleaning, we've changed it to try us risk-free for 30 days. And if you don't like us, we once again part ways. So essentially a no-risk offer, a test drive offer. However, the offer is not producing the same way. It's dropped by about half. Really what I was looking for is maybe, some tips or what maybe you could recommend or what's worked for you or maybe for your clients with regards to the most powerful introductory offers to get clients to pick up the phone, call you, say yes, say please, they work with me, and so on.
Great question, and I'm excited to answer it because this will work. Offers are offers, whether you're using direct mail or in person or Google AdWords or website, whatever, it doesn't matter. Offers are offers. So please don't check out here. Well, I'm not going to do direct mail, so this doesn't apply. A, you should definitely be open to direct mail, and B, offers are offers. That said, I'd love to give my feedback, starting with where you started on the free cleaning. I've got two, and I'm not saying I wouldn't ever use it or it's a bad idea. Certainly, if you're getting results that are positive, far be it for me to tell you to cut it out. But the concerns that I would have before running it myself and I'd want Cleaning Nation to be aware of is many of the people that you're going to be advertising to already have a cleaner. So if I don't have a cleaner currently and I need one, I'm between cleaners that are trying to do it in-house and I need that free one-week trial, I can't think of a better offer. That's going to crush it with those people. That said, the people that already have cleaners that that puts them in that they're not that unhappy with them. They're like, eh, I don't know, whatever. That free week trial is, I'm just putting myself in their shoes, doesn't seem to be as compelling, because now it's like, well, I got to fire my people just for a week, but then if they, I'm going to have them come back, like that bridge is kind of burnt. If I send them away, I'm not going to call them back in a week and go, just kidding, we tried someone else. I mean, maybe I will, but it's just, that sounds like a lot of brain damage for me, the consumer. So I think that offer gets a lot less exciting for that segment of people. And then the third segment might be the people that really hate the cleaners that they have. I'm like, great, this is an easy transition to move from this guy to that guy, because at least it's free and I've got a free week cleaning. So if these guys suck, at least I'll pick up a free week cleaning. So my concern on that one is, for the right person, I think it's going to be a shockingly good offer. For some of them, I think it's not the ideal offer. And for all of them, you're going to have to pay for the free cleaning. Any questions or thoughts on that before we move on?
One of the things I was going to say, though, is literally in case anybody does try this, just so they, not that we never made the mistake, because I knew it was going to happen, but you literally have to go above and beyond on the cleanings.
Great point.
They need to see a significant difference, or you're just like the last person.
Great point. Yeah, you need to. Yeah, I would go so far as to say you want to have a strategy for these people that's not just we'll go in and clean, but there needs to be, here's 10 specific things that we are going to do. We are going to leave a jar of candy that we fill every time we're there. We leave stripes in the thing. We leave a handwritten note. Like, I would literally have 10 things. We're going to have a smell that they like. You want lots and lots of things where they can definitively point to, this is better Head and Shoulders, and you want to create pain of disconnect, where it is uncomfortable for them or makes their life difficult to leave. Okay, so that's the first offer. The second offer, and the other thing I wanted to say is, generally, less so on commercial, but totally on the residential, my big hesitation with the free cleaning, and on the number side, I'm totally behind it, right? We went through that. But on the other thing I don't like is that generally will attract the freebie seekers, the cheapos, the guys that are not your AAA customers. Not to say that your AAA customers aren't in that batch, but sometimes you got to kiss a lot of frogs to get to a princess.
We did get one.
One cheapie guy?
One cheapie.
Okay. And again, there's levels of cheapie, right? I didn't mean specifically, although it sounds like you got one, like they were just taking advantage of the free cleaning. They never had anything.
They were 100% just taking advantage.
Yeah. So, but that's only one level of them. There could also be levels of people that are like, hey, that's not my only thing. I'll still use you, but I'm going to turn you over for the next guy that gives me a better offer I can save a nickel on. That's not your ideal customer. Your ideal customer is like, hey, I'm really looking for a relationship. And that's what's important to me. And again, those guys are in there, but they're mixed with the total, I don't want to say thieves because you offered it to them, but the guy that are just like, nope, I'll take your free thing and it's all I care about. And the other things that are like, I'll cut you off for a nickel when the next guy comes with a better offer. So it often can attract the wrong things. And we are so far over on time. I'm going to give you one quick thing and then we'll move on to lightning round. The last piece in terms of, okay, well, great, what would a good offer be? The way I like to turn it around is, what is their true pain, and let's solve that. So I know a lot of us that deal with commercial cleaning get the, oh, it's money, it's money, it's money. But that's not really their pain, because if they've been doing this for any amount of time, they're almost guaranteed not using the cheapest guy, right? Maybe the first time they hired a cleaner, they took the cheapest bid and that guy was awful and then whatever. So they get that it's not just about money. If it was just about money, everybody would drive a Hyundai, whatever their cheapest vehicle is, and Mercedes wouldn't exist. So I look at their real pain. What is it they truly want? And generally what I found, and this may be for your target market, Kieran, and yours, Cleaning Nation, but just to give you an idea of what I think really works, is for me, it's pain of disconnect. If I'm in that job, I'd say more than a third of them don't even like their cleaners. They're like, I don't like it. It's no good. You're like, but then why, when I offer to give them a bid, do they say no if they don't even like their cleaners? The answer is, there's pain and there's suffering and there's headache and heartache and stuff that they work that they don't want in making that switch. So I would really craft an offer that was more around that. I love your no risk, right? So I kind of know that there's no risk on it for me. But the problem is, you're saying no risk in terms of money, and I'm assuming you say, hey, we'll either give your money back or go fix whatever we do. That doesn't assuage I still have risk. So I love that concept of take away my risk, make it a no-brainer for me. But the risk that you're not taking away is, I got to call the old cleaner. I got to change the locks on the door if I don't have a good feeling about them. I've got to get you a lock. I've got to do a walkthrough. There's probably a 10-hour, I've got to sign this contract, and that might have to be run up the pole. There's just this whole other piece in my world that is pain to make this switch. I would focus all of my marketing on our 7-step done in 30 seconds, turnkey, easy as pie, and we buy you a steak dinner at the end process for transitioning cleaning companies. That's the offer I would go for. And again, not word for word, but that's the concept.
I like it. I like it. I'm definitely, you know what that is. And because initially even though we are quite targeted, it's still, it's like a shotgun approach in a small room. So, I think maybe if I really rejiggered a lot of the copy and really just, I really like the, you know, like the 7-step process on how we are going to essentially remove all your pain and make it, incredibly easy for you. I, to be honest, as much as you hear it, sometimes you just don't really think about it.
Yeah, well, and again,
many other things on your mind.
It's so funny because I have mastermind groups and coaching that I get. So I go coach, like I'm just writing a letter or I did an article for anyway, I'm working with a PR company and I wrote an article and I violated my own rule. I had a bunch of I and we about our company, about this cool story that I told. He's like, make it about them. I'm like, good Lord, I tell people that 372 times a year and I still make the mistake. So all that to say, coaching is sometimes it's new information you didn't know. And a lot of times it's information you did know that you just needed to be reminded of. That said, the last thing I wanted to hit you with, Kieran, before we move to lightning round, I threw it in at the end, but I don't want you or Cleaning Nation to miss it, was some sort of pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I was sincere about, we will take you out to a steak dinner, or you and your wife have a date night, or some sort of a gift at the end. So it's like, not only is he going to take it from maybe a 7 in terms on 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, a 7 of, oh, this isn't something I really want to deal with. He's going to take it down to a 4, but then he's going to give me something that's a 12 on the good side in terms of, oh, I get a dinner with my wife. He's going to, you know, buy me movie tickets and dinner or a bottle of wine or something that they like. I think that combination, and again, if you think about it, say that the free week of cleaning or whatever is going to cost you $300, you could buy an awful nice gift for $200 that they're going to go, wow, this guy is fantastic. And it's a lot less headache on your end. You just write a $200 check as opposed to having to staff and hire and fire and, you know, kind of spool up and down. So just want to make sure you get that.
Can I ask a quick question about that? Okay. Just a quick question. In a quick sentence, how would you position that where it would not sound like kind of come off as like almost like a bribe, you know what I mean? Like, almost like, I don't want to say bribe because it's not the word, but
totally get it. You're not,
but
you're,
like,
yeah, you don't want to buy their business. It's a bonus and an afterthought, not the focus. If the focus was come to us and we'll give you money, that's super unethical. If it's, here's the 7-step process that we have to make your life super easy, and as a bonus for everyone that signs up right now, we're going to give you this gift at the end of the rainbow to cement the deal, to show you how much we appreciate you. It's a bonus. It's an afterthought, not the offer.
Beautiful.
Cool. And again, I would love to talk more about this. I just, my fault, I jabbered too much, and this is like the longest we've done. So we're going to hit the lightning round. You're going to go super fast. Cleaning Nation is going to continue to get amazing feedback. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Well, you know what, how about a quote I've been kind of pondering and really enjoying, and it's by Colonel David Hackworth, and it's, if you find yourself in a fair fight, you didn't plan the mission properly.
I have never heard that, and I love it. I'm going to repeat it because I like it so well. If you find yourself in a fair fight, you did not plan properly. Well said, Colonel Hackworth, and re-said Mr. Reed. Question two, what's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business we can learn from?
You know what? I'll tell you a really, really quick little, it actually happened yesterday. Essentially, we went to go and clean, two days ago, we went to go clean a series of new construction, multi-million dollar new build homes. We walked in, to be honest, we made the biggest, we did not do a good job. We really messed up the whole project. We did not know what we were walking into. I got a call the next day, you got to come to the office. I sit down and I'm just like, you know what? I sit down with the owner, he's pretty upset. And I'm just like, you know what? It's my fault. I did it all. I take full responsibility. Circumstances come up. But you know what? I can't make excuses. It's my fault. And even my biggest mistake was not being prepared. But what I wanted to say was, after that meeting, the secretary called me out and she said, Kieran, the reason I wanted you to sit with the owner was because I knew he would see your integrity. And what I was trying to say is, if you're going in, like, don't don't do more than you can. But at the same time, if you're always, if you're just honest with people, you can always, like, you can always solve a bad situation.
Yeah, well said. I will work with someone that is competent and has high integrity that makes mistakes like the rest of us over someone that's highly competent, never makes a mistake, but is a liar and a thief every time. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice immediately that will improve their business and or their lives?
I would just say consistency. If you're, whatever you're doing with regards to your advertising, if you send one letter, if you do one ad, if you do just even if you just send the same thing to them over and over and over again, it's about consistency. It's about dripping. That's one of the things that I wasn't really familiar with when I got into the cleaning industry. It's like, it's people don't just pick up the phone and call you immediately. Sometimes they do, but it's that constant drip following up. And if you just send the same ad, the same letter, the same postcard, the same phone call, just do the same thing. If you can't be bothered to make something else, believe me, consistency makes the biggest difference.
Yeah, like it or not, people are going to buy when they're ready to buy, not sadly when we are ready to sell. Kieran, thank you for joining us again. I got to tell you, I feel like the first time we got together and chatted, we knocked it out of the park. This time was as good or better. Hopefully Cleaning Nation will forgive us for a half hour podcast. If you want to check out, or when you want to check out Kieran's show notes page, I will put the quote that he did, Chet Holmes' book, links to everything. Everything we've talked about will be all right there. Of course, if you want to grow your cleaning company, it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations! You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.